makes new. That's the power of Christ's love. His promise is true. He came down from heaven above to the cross for a ruined world, and he shed his blood for you. Didn't he prove he could make all things new?
All right, hello and welcome back to Preach the Word Podcast. This is your host, Dean Carmichael, and today we are going to be in the book of Amos, which is a minor prophet in the Old Testament, and the minor prophets were not less important than the major prophets, of course, but they're just smaller books. And the key verse is Amos chapter 7, verse 10 through 13. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and eat, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. So some key things there, where Amaziah said, the land is not able to bear all his words. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The title of the message, the podcast, is How Do I Respond to the Truth? That's a very, very important question to ask yourself. When the truth is presented, it's not the idea of the truth or the idea of a person. But when you actually hear the truth, how do you respond to that? So we're looking here, we're using Amos as an example. Amos was an Old Testament prophet. His name means burden. He was a preacher from Tekoa, which was about 5 miles from Bethlehem. He was a herdsman. And his prophecy to Israel, the northern kingdom, was rejected. Now, this is something we need to understand when we look at the context of this and you apply it to your life. So chapter 1, chapter 1 and 2, all the way down to really to chapter 2, verse 5. But this is very important. So he prophesies against the surrounding areas: Syria, Philistia, Phoenicia, Tyre, Edom, Ammon, Moab, and then even Judah, how they had rejected and disobeyed the word of God and hardened their hearts. Now, you have to understand, he's in the northern kingdom. So there's a split. There's a split with Israel after David, after Solomon. You have Solomon's son Rehoboam, who took the southern kingdom. Remember that story where Rehoboam said, my father chastised you with whips, but I'll chastise you with scorpions. He didn't listen to the older men. He listened to the younger men, and there was a civil war, if you will, a split with Israel. And you had the northern kingdom, which was Jeroboam. They were wicked. Then you had the southern kingdom, which was Rehoboam, which was Judah and Benjamin. And they were wicked as well at that time, and they would have a few godly kings. Well, right now, this is during the split, and Amos is preaching against all these surrounding nations, including the southern kingdom. Well, at this point, the northern kingdom doesn't mind. They don't mind hearing the truth preached about the surrounding nations, especially their rival, the southern kingdom. But then you get to chapter 2, and on down to chapter 6, and Amos begins prophesying against the northern kingdom. So the prophecy to the other nations were accepted. The harassing Israel, the breaking treaties, committing the cruel crimes, desecrating and being disrespected, all of those things were accepted. But then when he got into the prophecy against the northern kingdom, that's when the problem started. So Amaziah, the priest, pretty much just tells them to leave. So Israel's told they're going to be judged because they're perverting justice. They're selling the poor into slavery. There's immorality. They're stealing. They're unthankful. They're provoking. They're being wicked. They're living the way they want to live. Now, they have a prophet. You've got to understand this. This is something very important that is a great illustration, is a great application, but it's a great illustration for the church today to learn from the Northern Kingdom. The Northern Kingdom was living very wickedly, but they still had their priest. They still had their prophet, rather, Amaziah. They still wanted to be religious. They wanted religion, they wanted their prophet, but they wanted to live their own way. They didn't mind hard preaching. They didn't mind Amos coming in and preaching against the surrounding nations. So let's talk about that for a minute. There are a lot of Christians today using this as an application. We don't mind hard preaching. We don't mind preaching. If you're a Republican, you don't mind hard preaching against Democrats. It's very political. If you're an individual that you are strongly against sins in the Bible, you don't mind certain sins being preached about. But the moment there's a thing that's preached about that you have self-justified that sin in your own eyes, you begin to get uncomfortable. And that's the question. How do you respond to the truth? Not parts of the truth, but the whole truth. The truth is okay when it's sin being, is someone else's sin being brought to light. But when the truth is your sin, that's the question. How do you respond to that? So, a couple questions. Why didn't why didn't the people respond to Amos's prophecy of them in a positive way? Well, the number one, they were coddled. That word coddled means protected from the whole truth. So the name Amos means burden. Sound doctrine is a burden to our flesh. The words of Jesus are not burdensome to many believers simply because they don't read them. We see them as figurative or allegorical or poetic. We like the idea of Jesus, but we really don't. We really don't read his words and actually look at the man and how he was when he was here on earth, and then his words to us today. So, key verse of the whole book of Amos is Amos 7:12. Also, Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee away. Go into the land of Judah. Eat bread there. Prophesy there. Paraphrasing there at the end, but he just told him to go again. You know, go away. We don't want you here. They didn't say prophesy no more. They didn't say prophesy not against the nations. They were okay with him preaching and prophesying against the other nations. It wasn't until he began prophesying against them in particular were they upset. It wasn't as if they only wanted flattery. They were okay with hard preaching. There's a lot of people today who said, we only want hard preaching. We want that hellfire and damnation and that old preaching. And they start to mention like the old preachers and stuff. They're fine with that. But here's the question. I'm not asking you how you respond to the truth. I'm asking you how do you respond to the whole truth. There may be individuals who there are certain sins of the Bible. They are more than okay. The sin of drunkenness. It is a sin to be drunk. And the Bible is very clear on that. Being drunk is a sin. People, there are certain individuals who are okay talking about that. They're okay listening to a preacher preach hard against drunkenness. But the moment you mention gluttony and gluttony being a sin and start getting into individuals who choose to overeat and how that is a sin against God, things may begin to get a little uncomfortable. There are individuals who will amen hard preaching against fornication, sex outside of marriage. They will amen that, getting pregnant out of wedlock, how that is a sin, and how God is not pleased with that, how David had that relationship with Bathsheba, and how that was frowned upon. But then you begin getting into adultery itself, and just how adultery is a sin. And there are grounds for divorce, of course, but that individual is to remain, they are to remain in a life of celibacy to God. And when you begin preaching about how if you have a divorce but then get remarried, that's adultery and that's a sin, well, folks are going to get uncomfortable. And some people are not going to like that. So this is the question. This is the question. I'm not trying to pick on certain groups. But here's the question I'm wanting to ask you. How do you respond to the whole truth? All of the Bible. Not just certain parts. Cherry picking is dangerous. Cherry picking is picking the most beneficial parts of the truth. Being able to pick the sins we don't like, the sins that we ourselves don't commit or have problems with, and preaching hard against those sins, but then turning a blind eye to other sins. So that's what was going on here in Israel. The folks were being coddled. Their sins were that they were committing. They had no problem with hard preaching against the other sins, but their sins, they were being coddled. Their prophet was turning a blind eye to that. They were conceited. So this word conceited means proud and self-important. So not only was there self-justification, not only was there cherry-picking and picking what was most beneficial and turning a blind eye to sin, they were coddled, but also they were conceited. They were proud. They were self-important. Their spokesperson tells Amos to leave on their behalf. They wouldn't change who they were simply because they didn't want to. The word pride is unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority. Now listen, there are sins in the Bible that are mentioned as an abomination to God. One of those sins is pride. Pride comes from the fallen heart of man, and God hates it. Yes, He is a God of love. He's also a God of hate. It's in the Bible. God hates pride. They didn't change because they didn't want to. That's pride. When you have an individual who goes to church when they want, serves God when they want, and accepts only the preaching that they like, and takes only the Bible verses that they want to listen to, but then when the entire truth is presented to them, they don't change because they themselves have justified their own actions, that's pride in its sin. These individuals were conceited. They were also corrupted. That word corrupted means immoral. They were transgressors. They were living in sin. Their sin was brought before them. The truth, sound doctrine, was presented. What did they do? They continued. Okay? They were corrupt. Self-justification. They went to their prophet. They were angry. And they told Amos, you got to get out of here. Okay? We don't want to hear it. A lot of times when a person continues in sin, pride will creep in, but also there's a lot of self-justification. There's a lot of finger-pointing. See, this is the thing. They didn't tell Amos to stop preaching. They just said, go preach to the other nations. That's what happens when we don't accept the entire truth. We're okay with the part that other people are sinning against because that's how we justify ourselves. Well, you think what I'm doing's bad. Let me tell you something. You haven't even seen it until you meet so-and-so. So as a safety professional, I will tell you this. As a safety manager, one of the worst things I can hear as a safety manager is when there is risk in the workplace and we find risk and we find something that we're doing that is extremely unsafe and can cause a horrible accident. And the response of the individuals are not, yes, let's fix this, and yes, you're right, we got to stop production, and we need to get this corrected. It's, oh, you think that's unsafe? You should see what the guy over there is doing. So they immediately try to point fingers and say and justify their actions. Well, this isn't as unsafe as this other task, so we should keep doing it. In reality, you should take both of those things and fix them both and get rid of all the hazards. Same way with sin. Yes, what the individuals over in the other surrounding nations were doing was sin, and they needed to repent, but also the northern kingdom needed to repent as well. Psalm 51, David, this is the great psalm, David's repentance. This is one of my favorite psalms. David was a great sinner. He was also a great repenter. And Psalm 51 says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. God is a righteous God. He is a God of judgment. He cannot accept sin, but he is a merciful God. And the question here is, how do we respond to the truth? Keeping that in mind, okay, all sin is wrong. There's no cop-out for sin. How do you respond to the truth? How do you respond to the hard words that Jesus said? How do you respond to those words in the Bible that not only attacks the sin of others, but really cuts down to the very core of your being and convicts you of sin in your own life? How do you respond to that? The word filter is defined as a porous device for removing impurities or solid particles from a liquid or gas that passes through it. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." The best way to receive the truth and reject what is false is to know the entire truth. We have the Holy Spirit. We have our teacher. If you're saved, if you're a Christian, you're indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God. To spot counterfeit, the best way is to study the real thing. And how do we respond to the truth? We know the whole truth. We learn. We pursue to learn the whole truth. We pursue to live a life with God, to know God and make Him known, to know God, to have intimacy with Christ. How do we do that? We let Him speak to us through His Word. When you're presented with the heavy load of sound doctrine, your shortcomings, your failures, there's a race set before us, and on our own, we're going to fall flat. We're going to come short. We're going to become a stumbling block to other believers. It can take the joy right out of the Christian walk. Romans 7, Paul said, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" But we know Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So meditate on that. Think on that. How do I respond to the truth of God's word? If you are convicted of a sin, if there's a sin in the Bible that if there's a sin in the Bible, meaning if there's a story in the Bible that exposes sin, and there are many stories in the Bible that exposes sin, it shows the stories of others, there are commands in the Bible that exposes sin. If that is convicting you, remember 1 John 1 verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Don't turn a blind eye to the sin that God is convicting you of. Don't try to have the cop-out mentality of, well, other people sin, let's focus on that and turn a blind eye to what I'm doing. How do you respond to the truth? The greatest response to the truth is when there's sin exposed in your heart, repent of that and accept the entire truth and pursue to live a life that is pleasing to God by obeying all of His commandments. I hope this was a blessing to you. If you're listening on YouTube, be sure to subscribe. Also, podcast, any podcast format, be sure to subscribe there as well. Reach out to me if you have any questions or any type of feedback whatsoever. I would love to hear from you. Until next time, may the Lord bless you. All things new.